Mother Teresa said, "You cannot do great things. You can only do small things with great love." Anything that I have to offer this world, anything that you have to offer this world, chances are it's tiny. It's just an ounce. It's just an ounce. And it's not going to make any difference. But the thing of it is that it does make a difference. And these stubborn ounces that we have, when my ounce is combined with your ounce and your ounce and your ounce and your ounce, all of a sudden now we have a pound. And when your pound is combined with my pound and that pound and their pound, now all of a sudden we begin to see how this faith of ours makes a difference. Those stubborn ounces. Here's what I want you to take home today. As we finish this fall series, this Make a Difference series, what I want you to know is that God works in you. And as we seek the kingdom of God, God works through your gifts to transform the world. Let's talk about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is, it's not a place, and it's not a time, it's every place, and it's all times. The kingdom of God is available right here and right now. The kingdom of God happens when we baptize baby Josiah today and we realize the miracle that this little boy's life is. The kingdom of God does not just happen when everything is right. Sometimes the kingdom of God happens in the middle of the mess. I don't know how many years ago, but there was a car accident north of Watertown in far northeastern South Dakota. And it was the nightmare of nightmares for parents. A family met in Watertown. They had two vehicles on that day. Mom and dad and the youngest daughter drove in one, and they were following the older two girls. The oldest of the girls had just recently received her driver's license. She was 16, and then her younger sister. And as they drove north of Watertown out to their farm, out on the gravel, this girl who had so little experience in driving, missed a stop sign. Coming the other direction was a semi that was coming from one of the local Hutterite colonies. The driver of this was a young man whose name was Jacob. That semi was full, and there was no way that Jacob could stop. He tried to slow down, but this truck was heading to market. It was heading in, and it was full. And the long and the short of the story is that that truck directly hit that car. It was not his fault. He tried not to hit. And the girls were killed instantly as their parents were watching in back of them as they watched this unfold. You know how South Dakota is. You know how Wyoming is. You know how we in the upper Midwest are in our love and our care for each other. And that night, the family came home and they were exhausted and they were distraught. And starting immediately, there were friends and family and neighbors who surrounded them, and groceries started pulling in. And the sun went down and the sun came up and the next day began. And on that afternoon, something amazing happened. As the cars from their family and friends filled the driveway, another group of cars pulled up. And out of those cars came an entire group from the Hutterite colony. They were neighbors. They were neighbors. And if you've ever lived near the Hutterites, they are amazing people. In this very conservative German culture, as they live and thrive here in the United States. And there, in the midst of that group, was Jacob. And they came up the front walk, and they rang the doorbell. The family let them in. And Jacob, in absolute tears, talked directly to this mother and this father and asked them for forgiveness for something that was not his fault, for something that he tried as hard as he could to avoid. But it still happened. And the mother and the father, in tears, embraced Jacob and forgave him. And it was at this moment that that community, a community that was so mixed, a community of farmers and a community of Watertown residents and that community of Hutterites, all in the same room, the Hutterites began to sing. And if you have ever, ever heard the Hutterites break into song, their faith revolves around this music, and it is deep, and it is rich, and it is so in so many parts. And from the heart, they began to sing, and they filled that living room with the presence of song that was the melody of God. And in that moment of forgiveness was the kingdom of God. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. The kingdom of God looks like forgiveness. The kingdom of God looks like tears in absolute tragedy. The kingdom of God looks like hope in the darkest of moments. The kingdom of God is when we claim and sense the very living presence of God in the midst of the mess. The kingdom of God is when the lion shall lay down with the lamb, and our swords shall be beaten into plowshares. The kingdom of God is when we experience peace when we did not expect peace at all. The kingdom of God happens not after we die. It's right here, right now, in this room, in this place, with these people. The kingdom of God happens when you're driving home. The kingdom of God happens. This is the power. When we talk about the kingdom of God, and this is what we search for, because God is ready to work in you. God is working in you. And as together we seek to bring the kingdom of God into our communities, our families, our schools, our workplace, into our nation and our world, as we experience, God is willing to work through your gifts to transform our world. Today is the day that we finish this fall series about making a difference. And these stubborn ounces that we have, that little bit that we each have to contribute to the transformation of our world. Let me remind you where we have been as we finish this time together. We began by saying we need to wake up to the world around us, to the fact that there are deep needs that absolutely surround us. Now, maybe those deep needs are across the globe, or maybe those deep needs are right across the kitchen table. And then what we said was, you have to remember that when we see needs, you can make a difference. You, at any point in your life, if you are 3 years old or 103, you can make a difference at any point in your life. That you become the people. And God is ready to send you. God is ready to send you across the globe or across the kitchen table, if you are only willing to be sent. But when you go, realize that it is not you who goes alone. We go together. We're in this together. Well, where is God going to send us? God is not going to send us into all of the happy places. God is going to send us into the very midst of pain, into the crucible of pain, because it is there that the deepest hope lives. God sends us into the deepest pain and the deepest hope. And that brings us to today, that God is working in us. And as we seek to make the kingdom of God, God is working through our gifts to transform this world. This is who we are. This is what we do. We take that little ounce that we have, that little ounce that God has given us, and we put it where we feel God is going to make the most amount of difference. You see, it's not just that God reaches a hand down out of heaven, winds up the earth, and then sets it loose and says, good luck, see you at the end. No, 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 no. God is at work in us. God reaches down a hand and doesn't work separate from us. God uses us. We are the hands and feet of Christ. We are the eyes and ears of Christ. We are God's hands. And it is through our gifts that God works to transform, because we live in a world that is constantly changing. Book of Revelation. Did you hear what Sue said? Behold, I make everything new. I make everything new. This universe that we live in is constantly expanding. That was such an amazing transformation for me when, as an adult, I learned that the universe is not done. I'd always considered that the universe is finished. Done is done and that's it. No, no, no. What we know is that as vast and incomprehensible as the world, as the universe is, God is nowhere near done creating. There are new worlds and new planets and new stars and new galaxies. The universe is expanding. Now, obviously, we can't see that. We don't know where that is. We don't know what that is. But the fact of the matter is that God is not done creating here. Oh, my goodness. I held a bouncing baby boy, a chubby-cheeked little kid today, and I celebrated his baptism in laughter. And his brothers surrounded me. And it was just an amazing kingdom of God moment to see this little one whom God created, and here he was in my arms. This little one who did not have to be healthy, but he is. And God is creating right here and right now. God's not done with us. But here is the part that I love. It's not just that God is not done creating. It's that God uses us in the creation process. And Jesus said, on that day the king shall sit on his throne, and he shall gather the people in front of them in the way that a king gathers the people, and he shall put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Because when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. And when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And when I was naked, you gave me something to wear. When I was sick, you came to help me. When I was alone and when I was in prison, you came to visit me. And God would stand and say, did you hear? Okay, that part, that's not my job. That's your job. That's our job. God does not simply wind up the world, set it and let it go. No, God says, here is the world and you are the hands of Christ. When I was sick, you. When I was naked, you. We are the hands of Christ doing the work of God. It's only a little ounce. It's a stubborn ounce that we have. But it's an amazing stubborn ounce, because your ounce and my ounce and our ounce adds up. And it makes a difference in this world in which we live. We are called to be God's hands, to be watching. Where is the hunger? Where is the thirst? Where is the need? Where? How? So, I'm a rookie pastor. I'm brand new in ministry, and I start in this wonderful church over in Wessington Springs. And in the Wessington Springs church, still to this day, when you walk into that congregation, there is an extended German farm family. It is the Beckmans. And the Beckmans have multiple generations inside of that congregation. And so, as I start preaching, you know me. I have a heart for mission. I just love missions. Really? Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Let's do it. Come on. And so, no surprise, from the beginning of my ministry, I start preaching missions. And the Beckmans begin coming up to me immediately. And one of them shakes my hands after my first mission sermon and said, that was a pretty good sermon, but you need to know, Pearl doesn't like missions. And the next week, another member of the extended family came up to me and said, that was a pretty good sermon, but you need to know, Pearl doesn't like missions. Pearl Newcomer was the matriarch of that family. When I met her, she was up around, 84, 85 years old. And all of these great grand nieces, nephews, grandkids, all of this extended family that was there. Pearl, for the first 3 months that I was in that church, was sick. She was recovering from surgery. And so she wasn't ever in church. But her family, in no uncertain terms, said, "You need to know that Pearl does not like missions." And I figured, well, if I'm going to have this head on with my lovely friend Pearl, then we better get that out of the way right now. So I called Pearl and said, "Hello, Pearl, Pastor Scott here. I have not met you yet. Would it be okay if I'd come over and visit?" And so that Wednesday afternoon, I went over and I knocked on her apartment. She lived in the third building up on Main Street, in one of the apartments there. And she opened the door, and here was this wonderful, gracious German woman. And I held out my hand and said, "Hello, I'm Pastor Scott." And she said, as she took my hand, "Hello, I'm Pearl. I don't like missions." And that was the beginning of one of the most wonderful relationships, because I never ever had to worry about where Pearl was. If Pearl didn't like something, she just put cards on the table. You never had to guess where you were at with Pearl. But here's what happened over the next 5 years. Pearl began to teach me the passion of real mission. You see, What Pearl was saying when she said was, "I don't like missions," what she was saying was, "I don't like global mission." And here was one of the things that she quoted me on that first day that we met. She said, "Why do we insist on sending all that money over to Africa to feed people when there are hungry people right here in this town?" Oh! You want to know where Pearl's passion was? Her passion was for local mission. Her passion was for what was happening in our own community. And Pearl taught me more than almost anyone else how to look for a mission field that was right across the kitchen table from me. She taught me to look right there in the pews. She taught me to look right there on Main Street. She taught me to look right in our own hospital. She taught me to look right there in front of me. Because God is working within us and God is working through us. The kingdom of God can happen across the globe or across the kitchen table if we're only willing to take that stubborn ounce and put it where it really counts. Where is it that God wants us to be working? Because here's the deal. There is a deep, deep need in each of us to give. Are there any of us who refuse to give when someone is in need of help? Is there any of us that refuses to give because we treasure our own resources more than other people? No, we are by nature generous people. We are by nature a people who love to give. We love to give birthday gifts, and we love to give Christmas gifts, and we love to help others when that help is needed. We love to watch for people in trouble and say, "I could do that. I could help." There is something deep within us that says, "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I could do that." Because there's a deep need to give in each of us. God is working in us, and God in the kingdom of God is willing to work through our gifts to transform the world in which we live using our stubborn ounces. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. When in the middle of the mess, we are willing to work and move and make a difference. Let me share with you a poem. This is written by Benaro Shepherdson, and it's simply called Stubborn Ounces. "You say the little efforts that I make will do no good. They will never prevail to tip the hovering scale where justice hangs in balance. I don't think I ever thought they would, but I'm prejudiced beyond debate in favor of my right to choose which side of the scale shall feel the stubborn ounces of my weight." All you have are stubborn ounces. Those tiny little things that you can do to make this world a better place. Do that. In the need that you have to forgive, in the need that you have to live, in the need that you have to be generous, make a difference. Make a difference and take that stubborn ounce that is yours and give it to God, because it's going to change the world in its own little way. In Jesus' name, may you this week give your stubborn ounce to the place where you think it's going to make a difference. In His name, amen. Would you pray with me? So this day, Lord, we pray that You would take all that we have, as little as that might be or as great as it might be. Lord, take all that we have and let us make a difference in this world in which we live. If there is to be peace, let it begin with me. If there is to be justice, let it begin with me. If there is to be anything that is good and hopeful, good and joyful, Lord, let it begin with me. Let it begin with us. In Jesus' name, amen.